Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the various people that are wandering the streets looking for whatever flesh they can find. Good morning to those airline travelers going from A to B. You ain't never gonna see it. Good morning to the truckers trucking frozen fish. Good morning to the balloon pilots floating over space, floating in the air. Good morning, balloon people. It's Tuesday, December the 10th, 2024, Boblimp Doc. And shit's crazy, baby. Shit is crazy. The last 6 weeks have been some of the craziest weeks of the last 10 years, and the last 10 years have been crazy as fuck. But the last few weeks have been really weird. And for somebody who likes to black box test the boundaries of free speech, it's been pretty cool. For all the strum and drong of the episodes we won't mention, for all the bullshit of the past episodes of conversations and topics that we do not discuss, I've been monitoring the throughput on my website since that link went up last week. You know the one, yeah, the stuff I'm not going to talk about? Yeah, it hasn't gone up. I think it's gone down, you know. And Dan, that's because you suck. And listen, I used to think that was by itself a good argument, but there are so many things on the internet that suck and will get a million views. So by itself and by your logic, I'm not really sure I can accept that. And it's not to say I don't suck. I probably do. But that's not the reason. And so it's hard to say how somebody who might get a million views on a particular article ends up with a link-through rate that looks to be like maybe an increase of 5 views per day. It's weird, but it's okay. The last few weeks have been strange, and I've been talking to other people too, and they've told me the same thing. People I trust, people who are local mainly, but one or two people out there that I trust. I don't trust a lot of people out there. I don't. There are a lot of people in this world right now who I think even unknowingly are operating on the behalf of other agencies. And that's the nicest way to put it. And you could say, well, Dan, you mean they're possessed by demons? No, not really. I think they're possessed by their ironically named glowing rectangle. Oh, you mean they're smart? Yeah, the device that makes them smarter in the ironic sense. They are possessed. They walk around. The sky they see comes from the rectangle. The water they drink is justified by the rectangle. The food they eat, they're told, is good food by the rectangle. If there are microplastics, they can read an article from the rectangle that tells them don't worry about it. The rectangle will tell you to be scared of Putin. And the rectangle will tell you that in some town far away, a lot like the dating site you started when you learned the first 50 people were 6,000 miles away by accident, like that, Dan. Yeah, like a dating site. It'll tell you horrors. Drag queen story time horrors, horrors of, you know, flash mobs, horrors of, you name it. Whatever the particular target of hate is, if it's a minority, if it's homeless people, if it's some particular celebrity, the glowing rectangle is going to tell you how to feel about it, you know? So yeah, I'd say I walk around and I see people who are operating on the behalf of other agencies, but that doesn't mean they know what the fuck they're doing. But like I said, it's Tuesday, December the 10th, 4:23 a.m., Here's the first topic, right? A quote from Dr. Freckles. It's not that I got better. the world got worse. I didn't get happier. You got sadder. It's not that I got better. I'm still sick as fuck. It's not that I got better. I still feel like Gluck. But this place you love, that fits your life like a glove, it got lot fucking worse. It's getting worse. If you don't stare at your fucking rectangle, though, you can see it. You can see it with your eyes. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can taste it in the food. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but shit has not gotten better. And it's really weird right now because Mega Man, who's being boosted by the deep state, and a lot of these Mega Men are too fucking, well, Mega Men and Mega Women are too fucking stupid to see it. But Mega Man right now is riding this wave of it's morning in America. I mean, take a look at the headlines of Zero Hedge and tell me they don't all basically say the same thing. Well, now that Trump's here, the wars are ending. Did you see Assad is no longer in power? Putin's probably going to make a deal to end the Ukraine war. It's morning in America. I read one headline today. It made me want to fucking vomit. I think it was like the subtext of it. See if it's still here. Because it was so gross. So gross. Okay, here we go. Headline from Zero Hedge. But this is coming from American Greatness and written by David Keltz or David Keats. Some type of, you know, dual citizen. Anyways, it's a quote from Gerald R. Ford about the long national nightmare being over. And it's absurd. It's absurd on so many levels. I couldn't even begin to tell you how stupid this is. I'm going to just tell you right now, given the extremity of the denial out there, I'd say it's just the opposite. I'd say it feels like whatever's going to happen, it's really fucking close. Is it going to be World War III? Is it going to be the bird flu, Dan? Bird flu, pandemic part two, and this time they get real, maybe? It feels very, very curiously, and it's strange, but it feels like 2019. When I said the great discontinuity is here, and shit's about to get crazy as fuck. It feels like 2019, just before everything started going sideways. And there was so much bullshit being pumped at the time, especially regarding Trump and his enemies and QAnon and his secret armies and gold in the Grand Canyon. But the thing is, folks, I didn't get better. You know this. Things got worse. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Abuse doesn't fix sensitivity. It simply creates more sensors. And most of these new sensors are broken. Yeah. We have a lot of decent research about PTSD, especially post-Vietnam War. There's some garbage research out there, but there's some pretty decent research. And there's a few things people will kind of agree on. A, fixating on trauma is not good for you. B, ignoring trauma is also probably not good for you. And there has to be a balance between A and B. And that represents a lot of the thinking about PTSD from what I've read since Vietnam. There are different experiments with drug blockers. Well, Dan, we can block short-term memory. If a soldier ends up killing a family, they can come back to the medic station, they can get a magical pill, and they might not even remember that shit, at least not in emotional context, and that's better, right, Dan? It is. It's better. Better for the soldier. I'm not sure it makes a difference to the family that was killed, or to the next family that will be killed, because we just made the life of killing that much easier. Abuse, in a lot of ways, maybe every angle, abuse is a subclass of trauma, and people have PTSD from abuse. I don't want to shock you, but I'm pretty certain dogs get PTSD. I've seen it with my own eyes. Dogs get abused. They get beaten. Dogs that are being trained for dog fighting get tortured. They get food torture, where you give half a dog's worth of food to three dogs. They get water torture in the wintertime. They get spray painted. They get treated like little pieces of shit. They get made to force to attack each other to the point of death, which is something that dogs don't really want to do. They'll get into fights, but normal dogs don't want to kill each other. Just kind of like people in that sense. And I've seen it. You know, it can be for, and think of it in terms of dog time. It can be years later in dog time. And if a sprinkler turns on, or there's a block of cheese, or a firecracker goes off, you can see it. It's not the normal reaction. And sometimes the dogs will lash out, and sometimes they'll get dangerous. And it takes a lot of love to help somebody, dog or person, that's been abused. Way more love than most people have the time or energy for. And it gets worse. Animals and people that get abused will often abuse themselves, which means, and actually it means two things. They'll abuse themselves in a sense of abusing their own bodies, but they'll abuse others. Because there was never an opportunity to deal with B, which is to admit it happened. A is true. You shouldn't just focus on trauma. B is also true. You have to fucking admit it happened unless you want to abuse, you know, other people later on, animals and humans. Abuse does not fix sensitivity. It creates more wounds. It creates more tender spots. And you could say, well, Dan, that just means you become more sensitive. And no, it really means you have a lot of information now on a daily basis that's garbage. Because your brain does not respond well to reality. I can also tell you this from experience. I don't have combat trauma, but I have whatever I have. And I don't need to talk about it with you. But I can tell you from experience that thing, that monster inside of you, it's not easy to face, but we do have to face it. And in facing it, we do have to let go. And I don't know. I think sometimes a spirit, a soul, can be broken past being fixed. I just don't know. But there's a general philosophy that's existed for centuries. And you could say, well, it's the Prussian thing, maybe. It's militarism, maybe. It's male-dominated society. I don't think so, because I've seen this all directions, and I'll just leave it there. But there's been this kind of feature to societies that have these really cool governments that come up with rationalizations as to why torture helps. And torture never helps. I can tell you there are people, monsters, who probably need to be put down. That's the truth. There are monsters amongst us. For example, people that abuse or kill children. These are monsters. They're not people that we're going to recover. We don't get any benefit from torturing them, which also means we get no benefit from housing them for 50 or 60 or 70 years. It doesn't make us a better society if we do that. It really doesn't. So if you want to ask me, are there monsters out there that really need to be taken care of? Probably. But the way we currently handle crime in this country is basically to treat everybody as a potential monster. And that's not right either, is it? So I don't know. I don't know, folks. One of the reasons why I'm an anarchist is because when I think about the solutions that statists have about their laws and their lawyers and their courts and their armies and their diplomats, all I ever come up with is a giant fucking pancake zero. I look at your solutions and all I see are cemeteries. That's what I see. You see something else. You see rainbows. I see cemeteries. All your fucking solutions mostly lead to death and torture. And you've developed a culture of trying to convince people that abuse is helpful. That somehow abuse will make people better. It doesn't. I think a lot of people are about to find that out. Next topic. I'm about to read an article. It comes from Reason.com. It was published on the 5th of December this year. So it was published just a few days ago. Headline, "The PPP was a COVID-era disaster. Trump wants to promote the guy who ran it." This was written by Eric Boehm and, again, published to Reason magazine. The pandemic-era Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, was a bloated, wasteful mess, and now the guy responsible for running it is getting a promotion. President-elect Donald Trump announced Wednesday that he'd nominated Michael Falkender to be his deputy treasury secretary, effectively the second-in-command position at one of the federal government's most vital departments. Falkender is a professor of finance at the University of Maryland's CIA place, business school, and serves as chief economist for the America First Policy Institute, CIA NGO, a pro-Trump think tank founded in 2021 by, you know, Langley. And of course I'm adding the Langley stuff, but I don't give a fuck. Mike is a distinguished economist and policy practitioner who will drive our America First agenda, Trump posted on Truth Social. Falkender was the Assistant Secretary for Economic Policy at the Treasury Department during the first Trump administration, and it was in that role that he oversaw the PPP, a stimulus program that ultimately distributed more than $800 billion. I mean, I guess if we're racking that up every 70 days now, nobody cares, right? That money was supposed to go to businesses that had been shuttered by the pandemic or by various governmental edicts. And it was supposed to keep furloughed workers on the payroll until reopening. In fairness, at least some of the PPP's budget was used for that purpose. But we now know that much, maybe even most of the PPP funds, which is, God, how do you say that? They named it that because nobody wants to say it. PPP funds ended up being wasted or stolen. Only 23 to 34% of the program's funds went directly to workers who would have otherwise lost their jobs. So that's about a third. A National Bureau of Economic Research study found, another study by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis found that taxpayers paid roughly $4 for every $1 of wages and benefits. So that looks like, yeah, it's either 60% or 75% went to fraud. Some of the PPP's funds likely ended up in the pockets of business owners rather than funding workers' paychecks. A New York Times investigation concluded a lot of it was simply stolen. So much, in fact, that the Government Accountability Office, GAO, says a full accounting of the losses will never be known with certainty. Any massive, rapidly assembled stimulus program that's under the orders from Congress to spend money first and ask questions later is going to be ripe for fraud, of course. Still, the overwhelming size of the PPP's losses points to mismanagement as a significant factor. Both internal and external... I'm going to stop here. Okay, folks. I don't care if you voted for Trump or not. I really don't give a fuck if you vote. There's a link to a video I think you should listen to. I don't know a ton about the guy. I used to kind of listen to him. I think he was on InfoWars back in the day. And he has his own channel, The David Knight Show. But it's worth this one particular episode I have a link to. I'd recommend listening to it and, you know, come up with your own opinion about it. I get voting for Trump, especially if you voted in 2016. I don't understand voting for any turd you were offered in 2024. I don't. But I get voting for Trump back then. It's not that I did it. I didn't do it. I knew it was bullshit. The sad truth was that was the year I stopped calling myself a libertarian. Because as stupid as Trump was in 2016, the libertarians were just as stupid. And once you hear a libertarian say, bake the cake, then you know that the little king, the little dictator, the tiny piece of shit that wants to tell people how to live is alive and well in the Libertarian Party. And there's been nothing and to include Oliver Twist, that's dissuaded me of this. Oliver Twist was a big-time COVID freak. He was a big-time put-the-fucking-coffee-filter-on-your-fucking-face. Fuck Oliver Twist. The Libertarian Party was probably bullshit to begin with. And as far as this Falkender guy goes, he screams CIA. He screams it. You know, these America First institutions, they're CIA. They're Israel. Okay? They are, at best, Israel First institutions. And at worst, something far uglier. You know, and at this point, who knows? You and I aren't going to find out till it's too late. Next topic. Okay, so I'm not going to go into a lot of depth here. You know, if you've been listening to my podcast since, let's say, 2018, that I am deeply skeptical of all sides when it comes to the environment. I don't buy the standard statements about cheeseburgers and driving cars for a couple different reasons, not least of which, historically and Sovietologically, this matches up with a pattern that goes back thousands of years. If, you know, the proverbial Rome is building, and it doesn't always have to be Rome, but if Rome is burning, blame the poors. Because typically, most of the global warming garbage that comes out of Greta Thunberg's mouth, that comes out of Al Gore's mouth, these things, these people, they're not targeting the elite. They're not talking about, you know, fine steak and restaurants and hotels and flying in supersonic jets. They're talking about people like us. So I dismiss a lot of the foolish bullshit that comes out of the mouth of Al Gore or Greta Thunberg. I dismiss it out of hand. Sovietologically speaking, they're technically fools, okay? If a sheepdog's role is to give you some truth to keep you inside the Overton paddock, the job of the fool is to take something serious, take something that probably is alarming, and make it look like a fucking joke, okay? So that's what I think. I think all sides are lying, and so it's hard for me to say what the fuck's going on. I know that in the summer of 2018, what was happening up and down the West Coast was not fire season. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it wasn't fire season. I grew up here. My dad was a logger. I worked in the woods in high school, a little bit in college. I know what the fuck fire season is. So I started asking questions, and all I can tell you is that the deeper you go into this subject, the uglier it gets and the harder it is to find the truth. And it's scary because at a certain point, you're going to start seeing the Ukraine war and this Gaza bullshit and a whole bunch of other stuff as not really random, but connected. So anyways, there's a link in here about how the U.S. government, which has been telling us that, you know, chemtrails are bullshit, the U.S. government is basically building a chemtrail detector. And I'm going to let you read these articles if you want to, because they're a combination of articles that deal with, one, the U.S. government is building a chemtrail detector, two, chemtrail stuff is bullshit, because the second article, you know, makes fun of the Florida senator who wants to ban this. Why would anybody ridicule this that supposedly supports the government and their line on, you know, the climate, while at the same time recognizing that the government is building basically a chemtrail detector? And there's another link in here about the AMOC, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, blah, blah, blah. If you've ever seen that really silly fucking movie, The Day After Tomorrow, it's related to this issue. Now, I don't think you should incorporate a movie version of reality into much of your thinking, ever. If anything, you should simply look at it as a potential, an indirect fire. In the context of psychological warfare, it's a preparation of the battlefield. It's a scattershot to put a thought in your eye, and to put many thoughts in your head, perhaps years, decades before something happens. So when you think about something like The Day After Tomorrow, understand the movie Contagion that came out in 2011 is the same kind of fucking thing. It's a setup. they're not predictably programming. They're trying to get your mind ready. So if they drop a bullshit operation on your head, you'll say, oh, fuck, people been talking about this for years. That's right, dummy. For years. And now you're talking about it. You know? Here's the deal, folks. You can tell me that you trust the government and government scientists and the elite. So if they say they fix the ozone layer, they fix the ozone layer. And you can come back and say, well, Dan, they say that the Earth is warming into catastrophe and they're lying, and you can say that. But don't be one of these shitheads who will quote the same institution. Sometimes even the same scientist that says one thing on one day and another thing on another. Do a little bit of fucking research into these freaks. You know, to be more specific, check out Dane Wigington if you've never done that. You know, I don't know for certain who he is, but I do believe that much of what he's saying is probably true. That's as much as I want to say there. Is it possible that he's a sheepdog too? Fuck yeah. I mean, anybody that talks about lawsuits at this point, if you're somebody that tells me that you think that we're really, really close to just everything falling apart and your best case scenario is some sliver of humanity might survive if we stop the geoengineering, if that's your basic argument and you think lawsuits and t-shirts at this point make sense, and you yourself say we don't have a decade, we probably don't have 5 years, and I know that lawsuits are stacking up in courts related to the COVID fucking bullshit, then dude, I don't know who you are, but you could be a sheepdog too. So I'm going to tell you, you should go to Dane Wigington's site. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Check out his YouTube channels. I think he has a couple of them. I mean, he gets persecuted in the way that a lot of people get ironically persecuted these days. But he sounds honest. And as far as Langley goes, Wigington's a really stupid name for a faker. It's a really dumb name. You don't want Wigington because it just sounds like wigging out. So his name is strange enough that could indicate the guy's real. But I have no idea. All I'm saying is check him out, you know? And I'm convinced that everybody's lying. The Republicans, Democrats, the fucking United Nations panel on climate change, everybody is fucking lying in a position of authority about what's going on. Next topic. Oh, Damascus has fallen. Damascus has fallen. Yeah, Damascus has fallen. I have some links here to Isaiah 17 and Jeremiah 49, 23 through 27. I'm going to leave it to you to think on this. There are many biblical scholars who believe that the prophecies indicated in these passages, that these prophecies have already occurred, like they've been fulfilled. And there are others who believe they're unfulfilled. You should know that most of the Bible is prophecy. Like, I think at least 60% of it, maybe 65. A big portion in the Old and New Testament is still unfulfilled prophecy. A lot of Daniel, a lot of Isaiah, a lot of Ezekiel. There's a lot of thinkers in the Old Testament whose conversations with God have not played out yet. It's one way of thinking about it. But the bottom line is there's unfulfilled prophecy throughout the Old Testament, and there's a lot of it, probably most of it, in the New Testament. I am not in a good space with God right now. So me giving you any kind of spiritual advice is not a good idea. But I would suggest prayer helps. I haven't lost my faith. I still believe in God, which means that I still believe God loves us. I just don't really understand his love at the moment. And this is my own error and my own confusion. This is something that's taking me time. And it's not accidental. It's connected to personal events, as it almost always is when it comes to, you know, his children, when it comes to Christians, when it comes to the children of Jacob, when it comes to those who are of his flock. often when we're angry with him, we're angry because something in our personal life isn't working out and we need somebody to blame, so why not God? So it's important to be very honest about these things, I think. But yeah, Damascus has fallen from a geopolitical perspective. It's hard to say what happens next. I told you in 2022 that if the Ukraine war lasted longer than 90 days, if it lasted longer than that, you have to look deeper because something else is going on. If it looks like they're wrapping up the Ukraine war, that could indicate something. I'm not sure what at this point. We could be on the verge of a setup for World War III. We could be. It's not impossible. It's kind of like, you know, asking yourself, if they're going to mind fuck us in 2025, and we talked about this a bit earlier, if they're going to dump a giant turd on us like the COVID, will it be another COVID? Will it be a climate emergency? Will it be World War III? And if you were asking, as a Sovietologist, what the dominant theme of the last few years has been, well, the core dominant theme has been the Ukraine and Putin, Putin, Putin. And there have been sub-themes because, you know, frankly, the BLM Antifa bullshit is more or less a lesser trauma monkey, you know, or rather a trauma monkey and not a full-fledged op on its own. The drag queen story time, you know, all of the Biden family bullshit. I mean, it really, it obscures and eclipses the Clinton family. It's almost like it worked out for them pretty good, too, when you think about it. I don't know. Next topic. Dan. Next topic. We're serious. We're serious about this. We're going to go through this fast because why not? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Knowing that everyone walks at their own pace and no pace is better than others, that's called respect too. Dr. Freckles. Everybody walks at their own pace. And that's called respect too, if you understand it. A lot of folks who go into teaching and instructing, and just to remind you, I'm not technically a legal teacher right now. I have a job helping out students and tutoring. That's not really the same as being an official teacher. But a lot of people who go into the official role of teaching really do adopt that Prussian mentality of treating humans like animals, like crops, like widgets, that somehow it can be systematic. And if something doesn't fit, then you toss the kid out, you know. You throw the kid out. And there's lots of different ways of doing that. One of the ways that kids get tossed out is simply to have a folklore built around them. So some kindergarten teacher or some first grade teacher thinks, oh, this is a bad, bad kid. And they tell their friend who teaches fourth grade, and oh yeah, they're a bad kid. And then by eighth grade, oh boy, this kid's a real stinker. And then they get to high school, and they've already got a mythology. They're the bad kid. They don't get to start over. They don't get a second chance. They're not even 18 yet. And already a system is railroading them, in my opinion, all the way to the penitentiary. By the way, that's another way to talk about public schools. Mathematics, for example, is about pace. Some people will pick it up really fast when they're young. Some people will pick it up faster when they're older. Just because you picked it up fast when you were a kid doesn't mean you become a great mathematician. Okay? Some kids take longer, and those kids that take a little longer, we shouldn't slow everyone else down. And that's also respect. If a kid, in my opinion, if a kid could finish high school in 3 years, a kid starts out in kindergarten, and by third grade, they're done with high school, I don't have an issue with that. We should respect people and how fast they walk. I also don't have an issue with someone that takes longer to learn a topic, like algebra, because not everybody's going to learn it at the same pace, and by force feeding it, you kind of destroy interest. And a lot of kids just, that they completely shut down. Respect is about understanding that not everyone's the same. Respect, if you're trying to help or mentor, if you're a leader, if you're a manager in a business, respect is knowing that not all your employees are the same, and some of them will learn something faster than others, and just because they do, it does not make them better or worse. That's also called respect. Anyways, now I don't think a lot of people get it these days. Oh, you're gonna, you don't have time to learn it, so fuck off. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A bug can be a feature until you find it in your soup. Dr. Freckles. Well, what does that mean, Dan? Well, in the world of engineering, especially software engineering, you'll hear a phrase where people say that's not a bug, that's a feature. As a result of the engineering, the coding, the programming, the design, something gets produced as a result that no one ever intended. And under normal circumstances, somebody might say, well, that's a bug. But in certain circumstances, because it inadvertently turns out to be a helpful thing, you call it a feature. And this is true. You know, a lot of what the big software companies have been doing the last couple decades can be considered baling wire and you know, Bondo and Formagasket and really cheap fixes. I once had a conversation with somebody that worked on the Office project, you know, Microsoft Office. And I asked him a bunch of questions about where the technology was and whatnot. And what he told me kind of like freaked me out. I mean, it just sounded like Microsoft will buy a product and they'll improve it. You're going to pay for the improvements. But they don't really do a lot with the original product other than just keep it working. In rare circumstances, will they go deeper than that? And that's something a lot of people don't get. And so for Microsoft, whether it's the operating system or any of its other products, they have a lot of bugs that will pop up. And I'm sure that at the time they'll say it's a feature and they'll cover it up. In fact, a lot of the coding I think Microsoft does, I'll call cyst coding. You know how your body forms a cyst around an infection? Well, I think a lot of what they do at Microsoft is they form cysts around really shitty code. They don't really fix the code. What they do is they write a lot of code to just sort of deal with the event. Because the reality is eventually, if you don't understand engineering, the bug isn't a feature. It's in your fucking soup. You know? Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Lord, I know I deserved it, but I didn't want it. I know I deserved it. I know I asked for it, but I didn't want it. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. I know I deserved it, but I didn't want it. You have free will. Free will is great. It's awesome. But it has, you know, consequences. We're going to make choices in this life. Some of these choices will be good choices. Some of the choices we make won't be so good, and we won't know it at the time. We call those mistakes. And some of those choices won't be so good, and we will know it at the time. And there's not a good word for that. You can't really call it a mistake. You can call it folly, it may be, but even that sounds too much like a mistake. I think about the last 10 years and some of the things that I chose to do in some cases were mistakes, like what happened 8 years ago, but in other cases, I think I knew. I understood what I was doing. I was setting fire to my own ships. I don't know. I was kind of rudderless when I left the Army in 1999. And it's hard to say what would have happened to me. Like, if there's a place I needed to end up at, I think I would have found it eventually, but it would have been very different. And then, you know, life changed. I'm not going to go into it because at this point there's no point, but you make choices. Sometimes you get into relationships. It doesn't really matter. And you see, it feels like you have a rudder. It feels like you have stability. There's a part of you logically that's telling you this is an illusion, but it feels like, you know, you're in the groove in that sense of you get out of college, you get married, you have kids, that's what you do. But I think I knew. And then when things kind of fell apart with that reality about 10 years ago, I was back in the same spot I was in 1999 when I left the Army. I wasn't really sure what the fuck I should do. I mean, I can tell you the dating world sucked at the time, and it's not like it improves for someone like me as I get older. It sucked to be in my mid-40s trying to date again. I don't even want to even contemplate it at this point. I don't know why people put themselves through it. It's because they feel that lonely? I get it. I get loneliness, but you need to be really fucking careful of the people you invite into your life. Loneliness sucks. You know, one is the loneliest number, as that particular song says, but two can be as lonely as one. That's what the song says also. You know, being in a relationship that doesn't work can be worse than being alone. I've come to understand this. And, you know, it's rare. I've met very few people in my life that can respect the fact that people have boundaries. Most of the people I've met in recent years, maybe recent decades, don't believe in boundaries. And I'm not sure how to interpret that. But some of us really do just want to be left the fuck alone. And I know that this is kind of like way off the topic, right? But is it though? Because sometimes I do get lonely. I do. Sometimes I think to myself, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a girlfriend? I do. I'm not a robot, I don't think. And sometimes I'll get sad about my loneliness, and sometimes it's a lot like that thing about I didn't want it, you know? Sometimes I'll shake my fist at God and say, listen, why am I so lonely? And I think the Lord looks down and shakes his head. This is what you want. This is what I want right now. I can say I don't want it, but that's not actually true. I keep choosing it. You know? Anyways, next topic. Dan. Yep. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Everything is wrong with me, so fuck off. Okay, I don't know what I want to do with that one. Next topic. I'm going to read an article because, you know, even though my previous blog was destroyed by GoDaddy a few years ago, I guess it'll be like, what, 4 years ago soon enough. Yeah. Even though my previous blog was destroyed by GoDaddy, there have been a lot of articles in the few years since then that are along the same lines. So we may have discussed this before, and that's on purpose. We have discussed this before. I'm going to read from an article from space.com. Headline, and by the way, this article is from December the 5th, 2024, and it was written by Mike Wall, and again, published to space.com. Headline, NASA delays Artemis II moon mission to 2026, Artemis 3 astronaut landing to mid-2027. Oh. NASA will have to wait a bit longer to see the first crewed mission, moon mission, since Apollo ever liftoff. Yeah, since the Apollo era liftoff. I'm gonna reread that. We'll have to wait a bit longer to see the first crewed moon mission since Apollo era liftoff. NASA announced today that it's delaying the planned launch of Artemis II, a flight that will send four people around the moon and back from September 2025 to April 2026. The Artemis III, a crewed moon landing that had been targeted for late 2026, is now scheduled for mid-2027. The extra time is needed primarily to finish prepping the Orion capsule for the first ever crewed flights, according to NASA officials. Space is demanding, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said. I'm going to stop here. This is garbage. This is all garbage. You can read this if you want to. I will tell you, I have been reading articles like this since the year 2000, since at least the second Bush administration. And the articles are always the same. In about 5 years, we're heading back to the moon. In about 5 years, we're going to land on the moon again with people. Since 1961, fewer than 700 unique people have been to this place called space. 700. If you were to tell me that's a frontier, I want to know what kind of fucking frontier. Because it seems like a tavern called the frontier. And even a tavern called the frontier would probably have more people, more unique people visit it in 50 or 60 years than 700. It's dumb. I don't know how people believe this shit. I'm not saying space is bullshit. I'm not saying the Earth is flat. But just like the climate change thing, I will tell you, somebody's fucking lying. If you tell me that technology is going to become so advanced pretty soon that everyone's going to have their own fuckbot and everyone's going to live forever and pretty soon we'll all be living on Mars, but then you come back and tell me, well, space is hard and space is difficult, oh, you know, and, you know, we lost those fucking videotapes and we forgot how we did it. It's hard for me to make sense of this. It really is. You can come back and say space is hard, but then the next article next week will be Elon Musk saying we'll all be on Mars in 10 years. Somebody's fucking lying. I think they're all lying. I don't think any of us will ever go to space. I think maybe there's a place called space and maybe fewer than 700 unique people have been there. But out of billions of people since 1961, billions and billions who have lived and died, more than the population currently, like you can add another few billion to that. Out of billions, fewer than 700 unique people have been there. And as far as the growth rate is concerned, relative to the population, it looks like the square root of X, which means it's increasing at a decreasing rate. But there's too small a number to be sure. That's the thing. When it comes to data analysis, you want a big data set. There is too small a data set of unique astronauts to be sure. Yeah, so you make your own judgment on the NASA thing. Lots of people need to believe in space for the same reason lots of folks are holding on tightly to the Mega Man miracle. And it is no accident, Sovietologically speaking, that people are coming out of the woodwork to support Trump, to include people that would have considered themselves his enemy. And if not support, to just belatedly recognize that he's the president, and oh, you know, he might not be so bad. A lot of it's kind of weird. A lot of it makes me think about, and I've said this before, that podcast from 2020, Popping Smoke. A lot of it looks like smoke. Everything coming from Trump looks like smoke. Doesn't tell me what the next story is, but I think a new story is going to get published next year, and it's going to be as big as the COVID. Do I think they're going to do a remake? Well, fuck. Hollywood loves a remake. The bird flu is beginning to infect multiple U.S. hospitals. Krogan laborers are going into the caves. People in Hawaii are tossing their kids down storm drains again. Tulsi said, put on your coffee filter. It was Tulsi. Everyone trusts Tulsi. She said, put on your coffee filter. You better fucking do it. Walmart is open, but your church is closed. But Trump is a Christian. How the fuck did you ever come up with that stupid idea? He's not a Christian. I guarantee you he'll play pretend. And a lot of people play pretend. But he's not an actual Christian. I don't even know what the fuck he believes. I don't think how can I phrase this? He has any real power over your life or mine. But he does signify something. That is true. If we could understand what it means, that would be something, right? I don't think it's anything good. I think the next step down, the next step down happens pretty soon in that non-linear sense. And if we're lucky, it is simply the collapse of the US dollar. If we're unlucky, it's a repeat of 2020, but worse. And I would say, even though it looks like the bird flu is being pushed right now, that's kind of a fake. I think a head fake. I think it's a head fake for a lot of folks who are trying to understand. I kind of think the main narrative, the narrative that's dominant as of right now, is World War III. And so, okay, so I once said something in 2019. If they were going to do a mind fuck like 9/11, it would need to be orders of magnitude worse than 9/11. And frankly, that was the COVID. Yes, it was a mind fuck, but it was a huge mind fuck. If you ask me, the 3 weeks after 9/11, that's at least the 3 years after the COVID. And I don't even know if it's really stopped. I think it's still ongoing. I think Bo Blimpdoc is like taking the 3 weeks post 9/11 and stretching it out for 5 years. Well, what do you do to eclipse the COVID bullshit? It's got to be an order of magnitude bigger, if you ask me at least. And the only thing I can think of that would be bigger that you could pull off, but it really wouldn't be fake, would be something like a World War III scenario, you know, nuclear war. I don't know that that's the case, but that would potentially fit. It's weird. I also think the climate emergency thing potentially could fit, as weird as it sounds. You know, Trump is a fun guy because if he takes the wrong side of an issue, he can look right to a lot of people. I mean, that was 2020. He took absolutely the opposite side of rational, of reasoning and logic with respect to the COVID. He promoted the fear of the COVID. He was president fucking COVID. And a lot of Republicans who would have been skeptical of a Democrat in that role, they were like, you know, the most criticism you would find for a lot of these folks was, well, he has no power, he can't do nothing, which is really weak, but I still get that from people. He has no power, he can't do nothing, which again, I respond with, why do you vote? And then they get angry and walk away. If you want to take people's guns, you don't use Kamala, you don't use brain-dead Biden, you need the right kind of person in front of that band, and that's Trump. If you do want to shove Pandemic Part 2 down people's throats, you need Trump. If you want World War III at this point, yeah, I know. Previous wars were started by Democrats, but I'm not sure that's meaningful. And by the way, Trump spent a lot of his life, you know, as a Democrat, officially. But if you want to do some pretty rough and tumble bullshit and piss and poop on the people that voted for you, Trump's perfect. He can pull in everybody to some type of ridiculously evil nonsense. All he has to do is play his part on cue. Another thing Trump's good for, and maybe he's better than Biden, is as a surfboard. A surfboard that J.D. Trance and Tulsi Blabberd can ride into Washington, D.C. Trump only has to live a few more months. And I'll tell you something, too, that I just wanted to mention. Along with Biden, a lot of the pictures of Trump don't look quite right. Like, any two or three don't look exactly the same or even close enough. I don't know what that means. But I will say, as a surfboard, Trump is better than Biden. Trump, oh my God, especially if you can say the Iranians built the surfboard. The Iranians, oh my God, they murdered Trump. Oh my, I'm J.D. Trance. Oh, Tulsi Gabbard's going to be my vice president because everything's so special. In order to fight the Iranians, we have to take your guns, so sorry. In order to fight the Iranians, we have to round up homeless people because, you know, they're gross and sticky. Yeah. And if there are FEMA camps, they'll be for the homeless. And Alex Jones and Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson and all the freaks, all the edgelords will cheer on the idea that these people are being loaded up and taken someplace. And nobody's going to give a fuck about where they are taken. And all of these are probably better scenarios than what's going to happen. I don't think the system has the juice. I think it's been running on fear for 5 years. And the fumes of it, you know, it's just not working. I think they might try to dump a fear bomb on us next year. But if they do, it's over. The United States, as we know it, is over. I don't think it can take another fear bomb like the COVID. I mean, the thing about the Ukraine war, you can still kind of treat it as something someplace else happening to other people. What happened in 2020 happened to you, buddy. It happened to all of us. It happened to people you know, people that killed themselves. Families that were destroyed. Businesses abolished. And yeah, I heard of people, maybe even people I know, people that didn't need it, getting creepy-ass PPP loans. But I can tell you, in Little Saigon, Seattle, other than the necessary construction workers and other necessary Walmart employees and necessary truckers, everybody else was living in fear and losing their fucking jobs. That was Trump, too. Mega Man. Yeah, Trump could be a surfboard. Trump could live until April or May. Trump gets, quote-unquote, ironically killed by the Iranians. J.D. Trance becomes president. Tulsi Flabbard is vice president. And we have the perfect team to launch just the worst possible fucking war ever. So who the fuck knows what 2025 brings, but I'm pretty certain it doesn't really bring anything good. And if you think it's morning in America again, that the long national nightmare is over, hold on to that. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. You can see it right now. You can feel it. Just put down your fucking glowing rectangle for 5 fucking minutes and walk outside your door. Go to where people are. And if you say you don't like going to where people are, understand, I'm the same way. I don't really like being around people. I made a series of choices that were my choices to end up where I am. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm simply staying alive. If you think I believe I'll be alive next year, I think there's a 50-50 chance. In fact, here is the process, the product rule for me, and this is optimistic. And it is a simple product rule, 50% every year. All you have to do is multiply 50% 5 times, and that tells you how likely it is I'm alive 5 years from now. That's what I think is happening next. Have a great rest of your day.